Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, last week we were talking about that He's willing, that Jesus is willing. And we're just going to spend a little bit more time there. Why don't we go ahead and turn over to, Mark. Let's go over to Mark 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mark 1, verse 40. It says there, everybody there? It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And notice verse 40. This leper came to him, imploring him. It says, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now notice, he came and he was worshiping him. He came and he bowed down. And he acknowledged him, probably as a prophet, as someone sent of God that could heal him if he willed. But notice the way he came. He came bowing down. He came worshiping, saying, God, you can do it. He wasn't arrogant about it. He wasn't probably even supposed to be around these people, but he came kneeling down and just saying, Lord, if you're willing. That was his doubt. He came and pushed through and exposed himself and put himself at risk because he believed God could do this. So he has a measure of faith. Now, we don't know how long he was in that state, but for some time, at least, he believed God could do it. But that wasn't enough. How long? So he comes to Jesus. He believes he can. And for some period of time before this, he was believing that he could, that Jesus could do it. But that didn't get him healed. There's a lot of people that are believing, well, I believe God can. I have faith. I believe God can. That won't get you healed. We got to believe that God can and that He will. And we can go further, that He has, and that all we have to do is take. And when we take, then we say, that's believing you receive. That's when you say, I have it now, because He's already provided it. All I have to do is believe it. He can. He will, He did, I believe it, and I can have it now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's when you believe you have it. It's not believing God can do it. Most people believe that. It's when you move over to believing that He can, that He has, He wills to do it, He's already done it, and that all's we have to take it. I remember this man preached a sermon when I went to the Philippines back in several years ago. He was my roommate. You know, we went with a group from school and we stayed over there with people. Well, we stayed in a hotel and then we stayed in a hotel the whole time, in different hotels. But the host church there big church. I think I've mentioned, you know, that before. And the man started this church, you know, many years ago. At this time, he was 51, and he had been in the Philippines 26 years. And so I don't know, I guess that's been 7 years ago. So, you know, so he's been over there, late 20s years, and this main church is really big. And then there's, at that time, there was 22 satellite churches in the Philippines. All were pastored by locals, by nationals, and I don't know what they're up till now, because this one that we were, the reason we were over there is to help kick off this other church being started. We were going house to house in this little village and preaching the gospel to people. And then we had these healing crusades. So we went over there, we'd hand out flyers, we'd go house to house and go into people's houses and pray for them if they needed prayer and preach the gospel to them, get them saved, get them healed, tell them about the meeting. And so, you know, we started out, we had it three nights. The first night, you know, there's a number of people there. Second night, there's more people there. And the third night, it's packed. And this is kind of like, it's open air, but it's covered. It's like, you know, metal roof, but you could see out the sides, and it's a big court, basketball court and whatever, multi-purpose area. Anyway, so each night we'd have a healing meeting. And they were advertising this meeting around, trying to get and getting the word out. And I forget which night Jacob spoke. He might have spoke the last night. I'm not sure, but he was my roommate. And so each night we'd have, somebody would speak on healing. And then we'd be up in the front ready to pray for people. And people would come up to get prayed for and to get healed. But I remember his sermon that night. He went through the Bible. He had 3 points. His first one was God can. God can. And he went through and showed what God could do. And then he went through and said, and he wants to. And then his third, and he showed how God would do it and wants to. And then his third was, you can have it tonight. You can step out. You just need to take it. And I'm telling you, those 3 points, when he had it, by the end, there was such faith in that room. You know, people were ready to say, okay, he can. There's no power problem. There's no will problem. And all I have to do is just take it. So it's done. It's on my, you know, he is no part on his. All I got on his part, all I have to do is take it, and I can have it tonight. And man, we can just get, when you get people to that point, stuff happens. Expectancy in knowing what the will of God is, and when you know what Jesus, that Jesus is going to do something and that he wills to do something, that creates an expectancy, and faith has expectancy. You know, we wonder, sometimes people will wonder, well, why does these meetings that they'll have overseas, I mean, we're literally millions of people will be at one meeting. I mean, if you've ever seen photographs of these meetings where they'll set up in the front and have these huge loudspeakers, and they will go as far as you can see, and people will start gathering just everywhere. And I mean, there would get to where they have, you know, over a million people in one place. And but these meetings, people will travel for 3 days in 100-plus degree weather, you know, with nothing but a little bottle of water or something with them to get there, to get to the meeting, because they believe something's going to happen. And then they start gathering in the day and waiting. And then people are singing, and people are talking about Jesus and singing about Jesus and just waiting for this thing to start, because they believe something's going to happen. There is such expectancy in there. Those people came believing, expecting. The atmosphere is charged. The man gets up there and preaches under the anointing of God, and there is such faith-charged air. Man, stuff happens, because that's faith. People are expecting the power of God to flow. They don't have any doubt. They're just ready. And you know, you hear these amazing things that happen. Well, that's different than sometimes in the States, where, you know, people don't want to drive halfway across town to go to a meeting or something. There's a difference in expectancy. Are we saying you're pulling something from God? No, Jesus has done it. But faith does something. The expectancy pulls on the power and what is already happening. So when we come to God, You know, this man came and he believed God could do it. But he said, I don't know if you're willing to do it. I don't know if you're going to do it. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, I'm willing. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. He said, I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. And we see throughout the Gospels that those who came to Jesus believing he could, never once did he say, well, I'm sorry, it's not time yet for you. I'm sorry, the Father's got another plan for you. You're actually learning something right now. I'm sorry, come back another day. He never did that. Churches teach that. Churches teach that, well, it's just not your time. God's working something out. If that were the case, we would surely see something in the Bible to indicate this. For something to be scriptural, you have to have scripture. And if you don't see it in the Bible, it isn't so. And so people are saying, well, you know, God's working this out in your life. Well, surely we ought to be able to find some scripture. But nope, you see over and over where people came to Jesus and they were healed. Over and over and over they came to Jesus. And they were healed. They got healed. Now it says certain people couldn't get healed, like in his hometown, because what? They didn't believe. They didn't come to him expecting. But everybody, I challenge you, go through the Bible and find somebody that came to Jesus and he said, I'm sorry, son. It's not the will of the Father right now. Sorry, daughter. Come back late. He never did it. No, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We'll read that in a minute if we get to it. But why don't you turn over to John 14. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 14, verse 7. Says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Verse 9, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the will of God in action. When you see Jesus and what he did, people say, well, how do we know what the will of God? Well, you just never know. You just never know what God will do. Where's that in the Bible? You just can't know what God will do. No, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus, if you've seen how Jesus is going to act in a situation, you've seen how God would act. God the Father. Jesus said it. He said, I'm in the Father, Father's in me. He's the one that does the works. So if we see something in the Bible and see how Jesus would respond, we know what the will of God is. We don't have to question it. And what did Jesus do? He went about healing. He went about healing. We don't have to ask, well, I just don't know, is it really God's will to heal me? You don't need to ask that question. It's answered in the Word. It's answered in the Bible. Hallelujah. See, verse 10, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. What is that saying? So Jesus is going about healing these people, and what did Jesus say about that? It's the Father. It's the Father that's doing this. It's the Father's will that these people be healed. So Jesus came to show what the will of the Father is and to execute that will. And so we don't have to question it. We don't have to question because the devil will sit on your shoulder and say, well, you know, especially if you've heard things in churches past or whatever, people say certain things. He'll get on your shoulder and say, well, you just don't know. It might not be the will of God in this situation. You know, God might be working something out, whatever. We have to expose those things for what they are. They're lies. And right there, no matter what person has told you that, no matter where that's come from, even if it's a subtle thing, well, I just don't know if it's time yet. When did Jesus ever come and delay somebody even? No, he healed them. So when those thoughts come, the way we combat them is say, no, this is what the Word says. You have to knock them down with the Word and just say, no, the Bible says that Jesus went about, let's just go ahead and turn over there, hold your finger where you are. Acts 10:38. Actually, we'll go to Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. How about that right there? I perceive in truth that God shows no partiality. He shows no partiality. If it was God's will to heal one person, then it's God's will to heal all. He does not show partiality. Just like it's God's will to save everyone, it is God's will to heal everyone. People say, well, why isn't everybody healed then? Well, why isn't everybody saved then? Not everything that happens on the earth is God's will. People try to say that, but again, we have to read our Bibles. Not everything that happens on the earth is God's will. People die and go to hell every day, and that's not the will of the Father. Yet it happens. So people say, well, why aren't people healed? Well, it's not because God doesn't want them to be healed. No, He wills for them to be healed, just like He wills everybody to be saved. We got to settle that, go past that. No, it's God's will for us to be healed. God does not show partiality. He does not do for one person, let me phrase this right. He treats everybody the same. That doesn't mean everybody has the same results, but if you do the same things, you'll have the same results. In other words, He doesn't just, and He has to be that way to be true to Himself. He cannot go out of His way and say, well, you know, this person really hasn't done so and so and really isn't lining up with the way laws are set in place, but I'm just going to go ahead and circumvent that. He can't do that. That'd be like a judge sitting, you know, at the stand and everything's been proven against this guy, and the judge says, well, you know, I know what the law says, but I'm going to make an exception. He can't do that. He doesn't have the authority to do that. Now, in God's case, He is God, but He's limited Himself, and He said His everything is upheld by the word of His power. He's not going to just go over here and say, well, I'll just slide in here and do stuff. No, He is fair. ultimately fair, just, righteous, holy. And so we know if he said it and we line up with what he said, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. So he is not a partial God. Verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let's read that again. How God, this is what the word that went out. Verse 37, the word you know which was proclaimed throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, this is that word that went out. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So healing is good. He went about doing good. This is what Jesus did. And we just read how Jesus exhibits God. He shows what God's will is in the earth. So he went about doing good and healing all. So healing is good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? By the devil. He just called sickness oppression by the devil. And it is. It came from the enemy. Sin entered the world and sickness followed. God created man in his image. He didn't create man deformed or sickly. If he created man in his image, tell me how there would be any, was there any sickness in the Garden of Eden? How could there be? He created man in his image. So what? Does it glorify God? Does it look like his image for somebody to be deformed or to be sickly or to be not able to walk? No. That came after, when men fell and followed Satan, sin entered the world and sickness through sin. And Satan will do his best to keep people in bondage, and part of that is through sickness and disease. What does that say? Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? He said he went about doing good and healing, and what were these people oppressed by? The devil. So he's healing sickness, and the Bible says that those people were oppressed by the devil. They weren't oppressed by God. It's not God keeping them sick. The devil is doing his best. There is an enemy. He is doing his best to keep people in sickness and bondage. But Jesus came and healed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's not God's will. Sickness is not... I do not understand what I do. It's from the enemy. It's a lie. It's a deception. But honestly, it makes no sense for somebody to believe that God is keeping somebody sick. That God himself is, this is my daughter Brianna. If there were something wrong with her, for somebody to think that I would want her to be sick, for any reason, and if I intentionally did something to harm her, to teach her something, break her arm or something, they would lock me up. And if I were to say, I don't want her to feel better, it's just good, I just want her to learn something from this. If I had that attitude, any sinner, anybody that wasn't saved would look at me and go, you're messed up. Yet same people, same mentality, will act like God the Father, who loves us And they will say, oh, how the Father loves us. Oh, he sent Jesus. And we can see this in the natural. Me, a man, who does not have, I mean, I have the love of God in me, but I don't love like God loves. Okay, I'm not there. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, but I don't yield perfectly to it all the time. He is love. He's our Father. We can see a natural earthly father wanting the best for his son or daughter. We can see it. We just think that's normal. Anybody that doesn't fall into that category is warped somehow, some way. But then right on the other hand, we will come and say, God, who the Bible clearly says is our Father, and that we are his children, that he wills us to be sick. And the only way that you can believe that is with help from the deception of the enemy to warp it somehow so you see it differently, so you somehow think God is good in doing it. That God somehow has a better plan, and we don't know how God works, but he works in mysterious ways. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says the will of the Father, that Jesus exhibited the will of the Father, and that it was God working in Jesus. Jesus was showing what the will of the Father was, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus could not have come and healed this man. Think about this. If the leper, let's turn back over there to Luke, or to Mark 1. Turn back over to Mark 1. In verse 41, so the man asks him in verse 40, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Now, if it was God's will for that man to be sick, Jesus could not have said, I will, I'm gonna heal you. If sickness is God's will, what was Jesus doing reversing it? Well, in this situation, it was just God's will. We just never know. No, Jesus always acted like this. He was consistent. He healed every time. Every time he healed. And if people really believe that it's God's will for them to be sick, then they ought to practice what they preach, and when they get sick, they ought to be consistent, and they ought not go to the doctor to try to get well. Because if it's God's will for you to be sick, you might as well get all of God's teaching that you can and be in his perfect will and just be sick as God wants you to be. And I'm not just being sarcastic. I'm serious. If people believe that, if they really believe it, listen to me, if it is God's will for me to be sick, then I want to be sick. But it's not. You have to be at that point, because we want whatever the will of God is, right, for our life. And if it's God's will and his perfect wisdom for me to be sick, and that was what the best thing for me was, then bring it on. God, I believe you, I trust you. And the sicker, the better. Because I'm right in the middle of God's will. Why would I try to go to the doctor and get out of his will? Because you don't really believe it. These people, you don't really believe that sickness is from God, because you're trying to get out of it. They have enough sense to go to the doctor to try to get out of this wicked thing that's hindering their bodies. People can see it. People know, just like I was talking about with a son or a daughter, people know what's right or wrong. It's religion that has twisted it and made it to where somehow we're like, yeah, in church, okay, yeah, I believe it's the God's will for me to be sick, and then they go right out the door and go to the doctor. They don't believe it. Nobody believes that. Nobody really truly believes it. They might say, I believe it, okay, but in their heart they're like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And why would God do it? And I don't understand. I don't understand. That's because it's not right. And it's not the truth. And it's not the Word. No, God wills for us to be well every single time. Let's just settle it in our hearts that it's God's will for us to be healed right now. Right now. Right now. God has the power, He's willing, and He's already provided it. It's His will for everybody on the face of the earth to be healed now. That's His will. That's His will. That's what He desires. That's His best for every person. And that's what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go over to John 10:10. John 10:10, you can go back to verse 7 actually. It says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.'" See, he says the thief. Jesus is not the thief. The enemy is the thief. Sickness is a thief. Sickness steals your time, steals your energy, steals your money, steals your relationship with your family. It's a thief. It comes to steal. It steals. There is nothing good in it. There is nothing that comes out of good, no good that comes out of sickness. It's a thief. It destroys lives. It destroys relationships. It drains bank accounts. It wastes tons of time just going to doctor's appointments and whatever. They waste time. It is a drain. And it is the work of the evil one. It is not the work of our Father. No, what does it say? "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Another translation says that they may have life and have it to the full. Have life to the full. Well, you don't have life to the full when you can barely get out of bed. You don't have life to the full, you know, when you're grumpy and you can't talk to your family because you're dealing with this sickness bearing down on you. You know, do you have life to the full when you have a headache and you can't see straight and your nose is running, even a cold or something? That's not life to the full. Can't do your job the way you ought to. You can't think straight. You can't see straight. You don't have an appetite. That is evil. But that's not God. God came to have life, for us to have life, and to have it to the full. Jesus wills that we be healthy and whole in every way. Thank you, God. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. And the punchline, turn over to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. Everybody there? It says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to get this down in your heart right now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about the scriptures that we've read. He said to the leper, "I am willing, be cleansed." He said in Acts, it said that he is no respecter of persons, that he doesn't hold one higher than another. And it said that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were the oppressed of the devil. And he is doing the same thing today. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. That God is the same God. When Jesus walked the earth, he showed the will of the Father, and it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So today, his will is for people to be healed and to be well and to be healthy, period. It has not passed away. It has not changed. The same things we saw in Acts are the same things that God wills to do today, and it's the same things that he does do wherever faith is found, wherever people will believe on him. Same things. He has not changed. He has not changed. Say, he has not changed. He has not changed. Say it one more time. He has not changed. No, he hasn't. Just let that go off in your heart. He is the same today. If it was good enough for him, his methods are what we ought to use today. They work. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he's the same. And he's in us, and he's for us, and he showed us the will of the Father in action for all time, for all people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just settle it in our hearts, coming away from here. He's willing. He's willing. He has the power. He's willing. He's the same today. He'll do the same things. He doesn't respect somebody else or treat somebody else different than me. So his will for my life is healing. Hallelujah. His will for our lives is complete and total healing, health, vibrancy, strength, overcoming power. He wants us to live life to the full, have life abundantly. That's his will. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose, is for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord.